sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first relieved. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. The word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Thank you.
Pastor Powell. Now head this away. Oh, brakes! Come out of the woodwork. Oh, I like that hat Evan got on. There you go. Be careful, Evan. That is cool. That is cool. Boyd, the expert snow sled rider. Had a lot of snow. A lot of people had said they had never seen snow that around here, that deep. I know I haven't. I've not ever played in that deep of snow. And it was really cool. I've got a picture here. Can anybody tell me what's in this picture right here? Y'all see it? There's two pictures. Y'all see Allie Jo in there? See Allie Jo in that picture? Also, there's a picture of a house. A picture of a house. Y'all see that there? That's in Belize. Now, I'm fixing to do something with this picture here. And, let's see. Oops. I didn't know that would happen. Well, I did too. What did I do to the picture? I ripped it, that's right. Well, how can I fix it? Can I fix it? What did you say? I could tape it. Okay, I could tape it. How else can I fix it? How can I? Anybody know how I can fix this? I could glue it. Now, let me ask y'all this. If I tape it or glue it, will it still be back like it was? No, it won't. It'll still always be a tear there or a line, won't it? Kind of messed up the picture, didn't I? Well, did you know this? Sometimes in our life, we mess up. We tear things up, tear things in two. But did you know that God's Word says the blood of Jesus can make things back and put it all back in order. Thank you, man. And mainly, our rips or our tears in our life are sin, the things we do wrong, where we mess up. When we say something we shouldn't say, but I tell you what, the blood of Jesus, we don't see the full effect of it till we get to heaven. But through Jesus, the rips in life, the tears, can be fixed, and you won't ever know the difference when He gets through with us. He's not through with us yet. Y'all did really good. So remember, Jesus Christ can fix the rips or the tears in our life. All right? Y'all ready? Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Dear Jesus, I thank You so very much for Your blood that was shed on the cross, that it might be able to fix the things that are wrong, that are torn up in our lives. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all walk.
Ms. Jordan has a special this morning.
I get confused about my choices. In a world of many voices, there are those who would deceive me, never leave me. Jesus, all I need to know is that you won't let me go. In my weakness, you are strong. In my heart, you are the song. Lead me to the straight and narrow. Lead me like you do the sparrow. And please forgive me when I doubt you. I'd have no song to sing without you. Jesus, all I need to know is that you won't let me go. In my weakness, you are strong. In my heart, you are the song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. My Jesus loves me. And that's all I need to know. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. My Jesus really loves me. And that's all I need to know.
Thank you, Jordan, and thank you, choir, and Caleb. Awesome song. And it's, Barbara mentioned being proud of my son. Well, I'm proud of hers and thankful for him. John chapter 1 and also John chapter 10. We were flying to Belize on, finally, we made it to Belize City. Whew! Man, after all that delay, we were so anxious to get there. Martin was about to pull his hair out, all 10 of them. And poor thing, he worked all day in the sun, and he didn't wear any sunscreen and no hat. And you're a lot closer to the equator there in Central America, and so which means you're closer to the sun. Which that's the reason it's hotter there. And he got burned. He was building. He got in there and got after. We were talking about it. And I was encouraging all the team members from my experience. I enjoy it more if you get involved. If you talk to people. If you make, you don't know anybody. You're going to a foreign country. I said, talk to them. Even whenever I've gone through a translator, I remember one time Brother Al Valderas had to leave me. I'm stuck in the Yucatan with our missionary down there, not our missionary directly, but missionary we've helped before, Brother Ramon, And he knew 50 words of English, and I knew 50 words of Spanish, and that I got by. And you can do it. I went to his service that Wednesday night, and I survived. It was real. It was just one of those things. Of course, I hate that that's all gotten pretty dangerous in Mexico. But we were riding that plane. And so there's another family. I look at, there's actually two or three different people in a family of four. And so I asked, it may have been three children, so it may have been five. Can't remember right now. But and I asked him and his wife's name, and I was introducing myself to him. And I asked him what he was doing there. He's riding. We're on the 12-seater plane. And he said, well, we're going down there to help her, pointed to his wife, her brother-in-law, that's a missionary down there. I said, really? We're going to help our missionary. And so I said, well, what religion or denomination are you? He said, well, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, well, I'm not. And so I said, I really didn't say that. I said, well, I'm Baptist, and our missionary is Baptist. So we went through all that, and we talked about different things. And I thought it was interesting. They were going to be there a little bit longer than us. And I said, told the Lord, I said, man, that sure is ironic. We're going down there to tell the truth about Jesus, but they're not. That's the biggest difference between us and many major cults. This second semester of my evangelism class is about learning the differences that we need to stand for between us and other religions. Now, there's other different denominations, such as, say, Pentecosts or Church of Christ, and they have Jesus correct, but they have a different path to Jesus than we do. There's a lot of denominations or other, you know, other denominations that teach, such as that baptism is necessary for salvation. That's you've got to do that, or you will not make it into heaven. You won't make it to Jesus. You won't get there if you're not baptized correctly. And we do not believe that's in the Bible. Baptism is an act of obedience, a public profession. So there are different opinions in different religions. Now, back to Jesus. The deity of Jesus is, and according to my introduction, it is one of our concrete pillars. What you do with Jesus will make it or break it. If you have a different opinion of Jesus, if you change Jesus, who he is, some people say who he was, but folks, not only who he was, but who he still is today. He is God's one and only begotten Son. And he is God in the flesh. So if you change that, it destroys his message. It destroys what he came to do. If he was not the Son of God, he cannot be the Savior of the world. It's impossible. Jesus is not Savior. And many other religions don't. They don't teach that he's the Savior. They don't teach that he was the Son of God. And it looks like a lot of information I made, and I didn't make. I'm sure she just squeezed it in. I was going to leave her a note. I said, try to get it all in, Miss Denise. Now, put a lot of extra there just so you would have it. There's a lot of stuff out there. I just wanted to boil it down. The deity of Jesus. Before you read all the information, let's just look at our text real quick in John chapter 1 and also John chapter 10. If you'll get your, may already have your Bible open there. Read along with me or listen. The Bible says in just these few short verses, and of course, I have a little bit of trouble here, and I've tried to witness on a plane before, coming back from the Philippines, and I tried to witness to Michael Ong, O-N-G. He's from the Philippines, and we've stayed in touch through Facebook. And a witness to him, he says he's a Christian. He has a little bit different slant on salvation. He's got Jesus right, but he's got a little different slant on how do you get there. How do you get to Jesus? But that's another story. Again, such as the way you have the Pentecostal Church of Christ, they have a different route as far as salvation. But anyway, the Bible says there's only one route. We got to figure out which way is the right route. Okay? And it's not Michael Reese's opinion, and it's not your opinion, is it? It's not my opinion. It's the Bible's opinion. It's the Word of God. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now that sounds confusing, and it's just talking about this book right here was in the mind of God and in existence before there was anything. Just sounds kind of confusing. What do you mean? There's a Bible laying up in heaven? No. Because this Word was in, if you will, the very mind of God, but it was also God. Because if you skip down to verse 17, John 1:17 says this. John says he met the Word of God. Because according to, John 1:14, typo, and the John 1:17 says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory." And if you want to think of glory, just think of the presence of God. The presence of God. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, that's basically John chapter 1, especially verses 1 through 18, is basically John, the writer of this book, the Apostle John, and he's just kind of summing everything up. He said, John the Baptist saw this man and he was God in the flesh. His name was Jesus, the last really Old Testament style prophet to come along. He had authority from God. The Bible says here in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God. He wasn't sent from Muhammad. He wasn't sent from another guy. John the Baptist wasn't sent from anybody else but God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And guess what? He saw Jesus. And he baptized him. And he didn't baptize him to save him because he's a Savior. He said, "Jesus, he said, you do this to me. I'm going to show this as an example to others. I'm going to..." And basically, everything Jesus did was to fulfill His Father's will. Now, that's basically a good summary. Many of you are in college, in school. Some of you have gone to college or school. Have you ever read a textbook and you just said, you know, practical knowledge is sometimes dull. Oh, man, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, that's, so what? But when somebody hands you money, okay, now we're talking practical knowledge. Let me add up some dollar bills. That's practical stuff there. Or, in my case, 2 banana puddings + 2 4-layer delights = 4 great desserts. See, now that's making knowledge practical. I'm going to take the deity of Christ, which is described in John 1. Let's make it practical. Head to John 10. Now, this is where it all came out. And it came out several times during His ministry, where in a lot of religions, did you know if you have this discussion with a Jehovah's Witness or with a Muslim, that they'll say, "Jesus never claimed to be God. I beg to differ with you. Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh." You say, well, He's two different. There's not two different gods. There's not the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. There's not three gods. It's hard for us as finite, means limited individuals, to understand how that God can be in three different forms at the same time, but be one person. That's called the Trinity, but it's really real. I'm limited. God is not. So He can do it. I don't have to understand it completely. John chapter 10 is what comes along. The very famous verses John 10:27 through 30, are very famous verses concerning the security of the believer, which is another great doctrine of ours. There's many religions that if you have to work to get to heaven, if you work to get there, guess what? Then you have to work to keep it. And then if you have to work to keep it, then you can mess up and lose it. But I've always wondered in different religions and denominations that they teach, if you have to do good to keep your relationship with God, if God is my Heavenly Father, but He ceases to be my Heavenly Father after I committed one big sin or 10 little sins. Tell me, where is it at in the Bible? Nobody in this world, and I've asked a bunch of different denominations and people and preachers, but nobody's ever showed me one. Not anywhere in this book. Where do you know? How do you know? But my Bible says in 1 John 5:13 actually, that you can know that you're saved. And you can know that God is your Heavenly Father. But is it one big sin? Does the sin adultery? You know, I'm no longer saved. Or is it 10 lies? If I lie 10 times or 15 times, then I'm no longer saved. I no longer know the Lord. So John 10:27-30 says that God is my Heavenly Father. I'm saved. By the way, if you can change who your earthly dad is, then I say you could change who your Heavenly Father is. But guess what? None of you can do that, can you? So you can't change who your Heavenly Father is. If you're saved, you become born again. God becomes your Heavenly Father, and you're going to heaven. Okay? You're going to heaven. That doesn't mean that you always talk to your Father the way you ought to, or you visit with Him. But then He came down to the last sentence in John 10:30, and He said, and this is a real scripture. You want to memorize the Word of God? Say, Brother Michael taught us a verse, and I memorized it. I know one more verse when I came to this morning. All you got to do is say, I and my Father are one. Now, Islam or Jehovah's Witness would say, well, that means one in agreement. Like Brother Bruce and I can be one in agreement. Well, guess what? They weren't about to stone Him because He said, I agree with God. Because keep on reading. He said that, He ended that sentence in verse 30. He ends that sentence, I and my Father are one. Then look what happens. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? He said, what are you stoning me for, basically? What is this? Why are you picking up these rocks? And when they picked up rocks, they didn't pick up pebbles. I mean, they picked up softball size and up rocks. They fist and kill Him. The Jews answered and saying, for a good work we stone thee not. In other words, sure, you've been helping folks, but we're going to kill you because you, being a man, made yourself God. See, verse 30 wasn't talking about, well, I just agree with the guy. Verse 30 says, I am Him. They understood exactly, and there was no confusion about the words that Jesus intended to say. They weren't confused. They knew what He meant. And you and I know what He means now. Because if you look at the Jews' reaction, it tells you what Jesus meant when He said what He said. And guess what? Jesus didn't lie. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. Now, what do other people say about your Savior and my Savior? Basically, I could have looked up a bunch, but the main three that have a different opinion of Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus is not God. Before He lived on earth, He was Michael the Archangel. Jehovah made the universe through Him. That's found in Colossians, by the way. So they mix in, all these religions mix in a little truth to make it sound okay. But you're destroying Jesus. On earth, He was a man who lived a perfect life. After dying on a stake, not a cross, He was resurrected as a spirit. His body was destroyed. Jesus is not coming again. He returned invisibly in 1914 in spirit. Very soon, He and the angels will destroy all non-Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not believe in hell, by the way. They believe in annihilation. That's hell. In other words, you burn up. Just poof, like, you know, gone. So, You don't live forever if you're lost. Mormons say Jesus is a separate God from the Father Elohim. Little g, by the way. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven. And He is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings, which basically is why Mormons are famous for polygamy. Because up in heaven, there will be spirit children. That's where souls come from. They're basically spirit babies. And one day, Jesus was just a man who became a God. And in the Mormon religion, you are just a man. And if you work hard, and that's why Mormons are basically super nice people. They're working one day to become a God, little g, themselves. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was married, and His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for all sin, but does provide everyone with resurrection. Which means this, they believe, they'll say, a Mormon will say that you're saved by grace through faith and not of works. They'll even quote the King James on that, but really that's not all they believe about that. They believe you must do something else in order to keep it. So it's a free grace gift, but you have to do other things to keep it. Islam, Jesus, if you want to learn something else new, if you want to say Jesus in Arabic, Isa, you just said the word Jesus in Arabic, is one of the most respected of over 124,000 prophets sent by Allah, which is an Arabic word for God. Jesus was sinless, born of a virgin, a great miracle worker, but not the Son of God. His virgin birth is like Adam's creation. Jesus is not God, and God is not Jesus. He was not crucified. Jesus, not Muhammad, will return for a special role in future judgment, perhaps turning Christians to Islam. Well, that you say, well, that just sounds infuriating. That's because if you've only lived in Ashley County, if you don't, whenever, and you know, praise the Lord, for if we just stay here in Ashley County and witnessed everybody in Ashley County, but there are a gazillion other people, and that's a word where I come from, there are a gazillion other people out there who don't believe Jesus the way you and I do. They don't. They don't believe Jesus according to this book right here. They add to this book, take away from the book. But it's not about what I think. It's not about what they think. It's not about even what you and I both think. It's about what does this book say? Inspired Word of God. Matthew 22, verse 42 says this. Whenever Pilate presented Jesus to the crowd, he said, "What think ye of Christ?" Look at Matthew 22 and verse 42. I'm getting ahead of myself. Pilate comes later. But the Pharisees were all gathered around Jesus, and he said this. He said, "What think ye of Christ?" Well, the Bible says that He was before all. In other words, Jesus has always been. He is God, and God is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit also. I want you to look at two quick references. Let's just skip 1 Peter 1:20. You can look that up on your own. But let's go to John chapter 6, and also John 17. John chapter 6 and John 17. Quickly, if I were to ask you, and you're sitting down in an office waiting room and you see a Bible sitting over there, and most of you, listen, a lot of you have iPhones. A lot of you have Bibles on your iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you don't have a Bible, give it to me after church. I'll put one on it for you. Okay? Is free. I mean, that, how handy is that? You have Bible. I do devotions on my phone. Best thing since sliced bread. Just as always there. You're always going to have your Bible. Excuse me. I wish people would treat their Bibles the way they do their cell phones. Oh, I forgot it. I got to go back to the house and get it. Oh, man, I can't leave the house without my Bible. Oh, man, I've got all these numbers, and I've got this Bible now. Okay, and got this. And you can go all the way back. Hey, I forgot my Bible. Can I borrow your Bible since I forgot my Bible? You know, because everybody's got one. I wish everybody treated their Bible the way they did their cell phone. That'd be cool. And that'd be awesome. But you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody and maybe they're a Jehovah's Witness and say, well, he never claimed to be God. He's not God. Jesus is not God. Well, John chapter 6 and verse 38. He said this, for I came down from heaven. What? You're just a man. No, I was up in heaven one day. I came down. I was born. I took on flesh. Did you know how can God wrap himself in flesh? He was born as a man. Came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He and God. And then if you turn to John 17, now this is to me is a cool verse. You talking about awesome. John 17 and verse 5. This is right before Jesus is arrested and crucified, he's praying. You've heard of the Lord's Prayer? It's not our Father which art in heaven. That's the model prayer. Because what he tells his disciples, after this, and it says in the King James, after this manner. You could say after this example. But the real prayer, this is the longest recorded actual prayer that Jesus actually prayed to his Heavenly Father. Which is really cool because is he praying to himself? How does that work? Because they have their separate. Oh, you know another cool thing? Have you ever thought about this? That Jesus, when he's God and he came down and he took up on flesh, have you ever thought about this? Can God be in more than one place at one time? Well, is there a bunch of other churches having church right now? Which one is he at? Well, he can be in more than one spot at one time, can't he? Jesus can't. Did you say I invite Jesus in my heart? What you're doing is you're inviting God in your heart. Jesus in the flesh, think about this, was he in more than one spot on the earth at any one time? No, so basically this is what's neat. What Jesus did when he stepped down from glory, when he was a prince and became a pauper, that's described in Philippians 2. He became a man. Now, still hard for us to fathom. How can God be a man? But what he did, you know, he laid aside. He's still a deity, all God in the flesh, but he laid aside some of the things that he had with God the Father. He became this, an obedient servant. That's described again. And you know what God said? I'm so proud of my son in Philippians 2. I'm so proud of him that I'm going to give him a name which is above every name. And guess what? Every knee is going to bow to my son and confess that Jesus is Lord. But look at John 17. Hope you're already there. John 17 and verse 5 says this. He's praying now. He says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had, past tense, with thee when? You see it there? Before the world was. He and God were, and the Holy Spirit were there even before the world. Now I put on the next part and talked about the Word was made flesh. There is no earthly analogy that can even remotely illustrate the deity of Christ. The last scripture that I want you to look at is Isaiah 9, verse 6. That's the last one. Matter of fact, I think we're fixing to have a special again for the invitation. I'm going to go ahead and ask Caleb and Brother Jeff to get ready for our invitation. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. And The last scriptures that we look at, one that I mentioned earlier in Matthew, and you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 27:22 says this. Now, I'm going to get back to Isaiah 9. Just if you're open there, don't leave. Pilate was with all the people. We're going to kill him. We hate his guts. And after he said, well, I would just want to whip him and let him go. And he asked this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And right now, whenever y'all leave, in just a few minutes, y'all are going to leave this room. Y'all are going to leave this building. That's all it is. Y'all are the church. You're going to leave this building. And basically, you're going to do something with Jesus. Jesus. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. He is your Savior, and He's my Savior. What will you do with Jesus? As we all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, as Caleb sings, what will you do with Jesus? Will you respond? Don't respond to me. Respond to Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first relieved. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You